The biggest names in tennis are coming to Paris for the most anticipated Roland Garros in years. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. Experience 3 weeks of unparalleled tournament access as the world's top players in tennis face off against each other. Will the veteran champions continue their dominance, or will a fresh face emerge to challenge their legacy on the clay courts? Daily live coverage of this epic showdown begins Monday, May 20th. Don't miss a matchup. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is a Four Center podcast feed. I'm Kat Knapsack for another edition of Star Wars Ranked. Me and a guest ranking things in Star Wars. It's a pretty simple concept. And well, it's the holidays. And I think I wanted to focus on gift giving, or more importantly, Star Wars things in the past. Promotional tie-ins is what we're calling it. But these are pieces of memorabilia, pieces of promotional items that are maybe outside the norm. We're not talking we've got action figures, Kenner figures, or Lego sets or anything like that. We are talking about those things that are either weird, wild, memorable, outside that normal scope. And to get me not through it like it's a task, but it's a fun journey of memories here, back to the show, back to Four Center, please welcome one of the best producers in the biz, Billy Patterson.
Thanks, man. I love Star Wars Ranked. I love the main show, the Super Star Destroyer.
Yes.
But I love the Shuttle Tiderium that is Star Wars Ranked. This is always a fun time.
This is definitely a Lambda-class shuttle going down to the planet's core. This is you came on Star Wars Ranked recently, a couple episodes. Not only do we have just fun, I just have enjoyed talking Star Wars with you more and more. And I don't know what to. By the way, thank you to Billy. We are I'm on the road recording in your studio today.
Yes.
Couldn't record at my house. And I'm looking around your office. You tell this story real quick. You pulled out all of your old action figures, and it's like wallpaper, floor to ceiling wallpaper of mostly Star Wars figures.
I pretty much Applebee's'd the walls.
Yes, you did.
You can barely see any. There's like one blank spot. Yeah. That's 2020. Everything else is just wall. And the way I sold it was, hey, if I have people come over for podcasts, I got to soundproof it.
Oh yeah, this is great soundproofing. Oh yeah, you got Jurassic Park, you got Raiders of the Lost Ark poster, you got some Batman, Joker, superhero stuff. But I mean, we're talking from we got some Rise of Skywalker figures. I'm looking at right now 3 3/4 Zori Bliss, a Knight of Ren, Rey, Poe, and then you got the Last Jedi crate Luke 3 3/4. I'm looking at that. You got some classics. A lot of the ones that me and Scrimshaw have been ranking on Star Wars Rank recently, you got, including Luke in Bacta tank with his space underpants,
which I didn't even know that I bought when my mom brought about 6 giant Rubbermaid tubs full of figures and said, get them out of my house now that you have one. So I cleaned them all off. I put them all up. And yeah, it was funny. I listened to the Ranked episodes and I was like, man, I wish I had some of these. And then opening those boxes like, oh, I definitely have some.
Definitely. It's impressive. And you got your Kiss stuff over in the corner, too. You and I, you're probably more of a Kiss fan than me, but I'm definitely in the Kiss.
But I think the Kiss thing ties in because, obviously, I'm a guy that loves things that can be merchandised.
Yes.
Love it.
This was actually your idea of a topic. I emailed you. You are truly a great producer because I emailed you and was like, hey, let's do some episodes if you have anything you want to rank, which is pretty common of me to ask of guests, and you would come up with some great topics. Last time, you sent me a great list. We're going to get to a lot of them, actually. Then you sent me your list for this first one here, and you had links. You had everything. I was like, this guy produces. Like, this is why you were better at the Screen Junkies job than I ever was, because you're a producer, man.
I'm also a master procrastinator.
That's true, too. So we got a great list, and again, this is best promotional tie-in Star Wars products. These are things that, like I said up top, these are not necessarily the figures or things that are in the normal scope, but also there's some big ticket items here. So without further ado, Billy, if you're ready, we'll start our list here. We work our way 5-1 here on Star Wars Ranked, and we're going to start with your number 5.
So like I said, mom brings couple Rubbermaid tubs of stuff. And it's not just Star Wars toys. You're looking at a lot of them, but also all my books and magazines and everything of Star Wars. And I had tons of stuff that we're going to get to in this episode. Yeah. But as I'm taking everything out and I'm very, Jurassic Park with like a little toothbrush kind of cleaning everything off, there's a gooey substance on a lot of things one box. I'm thinking, what is this? And I was like, did an animal get in here? It's like possum pee or something. And I was like, no, it actually smells really good. I get to the bottom of the tub. I was like, oh, yeah, I remember. I love this. And this is my number 5. This is my Galactic Lotion Body Wash Queen Amidala from Star Wars Episode 1. So it's a bottle of body wash with a little Queen Amidala screw-on head at the top.
We're talking full queen headdress?
Yes, we're talking like the beginning of Episode 1 where she's listfully looking out the window as everyone is.
Great shot.
It's that whole headdress,
I will not condone a course of action that leads to unwashed body parts.
But the great thing is that the reason why I don't know why I bought this. This was around the time where if it had the Star Wars logo on it, if it was a new muffler, I would have bought it if it had Star Wars on it. But the thing that I love about this, I think this was a precursor to Star Wars Galaxy Edge because they could have just said, look, Star Wars body wash.
Yeah.
No, sir. Yeah. This is galactic lotion. The fact that they even remotely tried to canonize this thing as if, do you want to smell like a true Nubian?
Yeah.
Do you? Then you can have the Naboo approved galactic lotion that Amidala herself, she is the best dressed.
She is
the cleanest person in a dirty galaxy. I want to smell like Padme Amidala. And now I can.
Now you can with galactic body wash. Do you recall, I mean, if you saw the, is it just marketed generally? It's not, they didn't go down some gender lines, right? Like girls wash with Amidala, boys wash with Jar Jar or something.
You know, what's funny is I don't know if it must have been, but it's actually kind of like how all the Phantom Menace stuff had that kind of red Darth Maul
marketing.
But this had more of the Power of the Force kind of green.
Yeah.
So it's a black bottle with the green sticker on the front of Star Wars Galactic Body Wash and then the Amidala head. So it is very gender neutral.
Which is interesting, which is great, but also interesting because back then, so Phantom Menace, I'm a lot younger. I'm in my early 20s. Buying it would have not been any less weird, but you know. But I'm just saying, if they release that now, and I was in Target, and I'm like, do you have the Queen Amidala Galactic Body Wash in storage? Why, sir?
The Galactic Lotion, which just makes it so much more awkward and weird. And by the way, look, my wife, she develops body care products for a living.
Yeah.
This stuff is pretty much like dumping battery acid on your skin. It is horrible for you, which just makes it that much better. I love it.
That is a great start to our list. This is why the list was created, and I love that it's your number five, which means it's only going to get better from here. We're on to my number five, and I had a couple different options, and I wanted to make this list, you know, unlike some of the figure episodes where Joseph and I have been ranking a lot of them lately, where we sometimes have to include things that we didn't own or we wanted to own or even look back now and go, gosh, I didn't even know that existed, but I'm going to put that on my list just because it was impossible, not for you, but it was impossible for us to pull every figure out of storage. I really wanted this list to be something that has been in my hands, right? And I think your list is similar.
Yes.
So that was kind of what inspired us. I looked at your list. I was like, this is all things that I bet Billy has in a Rubbermaid storage box right now. So I didn't – I did a Google search for like weird items to refresh my memory.
They're out there.
And I'm like, C-3PO, tape dispenser. We get it. I thought, I'm going to start with one of the ones that back in that era. So this is 97. This is not only special edition era, but remember that was the 20th anniversary of New Hope.
Right.
So a lot of things started rolling off the assembly lines that weren't there before. It was really like, hey, that thing, but Star Wars. Galactic lotion, but Star Wars. And for me, my number five is Star Wars Monopoly.
Yeah.
And we did that on Force Center. Me, Joseph, and Jennifer did play a round of it as part of a Patreon goal. It was a lot of fun. And that was the first time since, I want to say, 97, I pulled it out of storage and opened up the package. And that's where I found my 1980 Kenner minifigs that I thought I'd lost.
You just stashed them?
I had put them in there because I was using them as playing pieces.
Oh, that's brilliant.
These are the little die-cast, the tiny little minis that went out of print, so to speak.
Actually, I had a couple of those, yeah.
They were great. It was a great set.
Yeah.
So I was like, Joseph was there. He witnessed it off. We were off camera, and I opened it up. I'm like, that's the thing again! He's like, what? I'm like, that's the 3PO! I had the whole Rebel and Imperial Snowtrooper set. So, but Star Wars Monopoly, a lot of great memories. I was working in radio at the time, and I was the morning show DJ, and my friend Megan was the nighttime DJ. She'd get there like 6 p.m. And we were friends. We'd hang out a lot, and so I'd often show up. She was a big Star Wars fan. And this was new. So we'd show up, and while she was working her shift, she, you know, hey, Cabernet 95, here's Aerosmith. We'd play Star Wars Monopoly. And this also came with, like, it was our first look at Coruscant special edition stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit later, you got that Trivial Pursuit, which had a deck of cards that previewed the new movies coming out. But this was our first, like, it was, and we played it so incessantly because, again, it was so cool to be like, Monopoly, but you're buying Endor.
And we were obsessed with this game. We'd have some friends over to the radio station, and I don't know if our program director ever cared. And it was just, this is coming out of that dark ages of Star Wars that you always hear some of us older pundits talk about, of the late 80s or early 90s up until the Power of the Force 2 line, where it was like, you know, we got a bendy. This is it. And this was like, I can't believe I'm playing Star Wars Monopoly. It was so fun. You had little, like, Falcons and Star Destroyers, whatever you put on the playing board. So I don't know if you got a chance to play it.
I've actually never played Monopoly ever. Wait, any
the
version.
Game?
Wow. The game Monopoly. Yeah, I've never played it before.
Were you raised in a bomb shelter with nothing but Star Wars toys?
I mean, I was pretty dumb as a kid, so trying to explain to me the finer points of real estate and money laundering was probably too... I like to guess who. It's like, does he have a nose? You know? But I've actually never played Monopoly, but I would play a Star Wars one.
If you got to be tough, are you dumb? You got to be tough. Yeah. You'd love this. It did what you wanted to do. You kind of felt as though you're moving through the galaxy.
Which I love that. I've also wanted to get the Risk one.
Oh yeah.
I've never played Risk, but I was like, if I'm gonna play it.
I went through a Risk phase late high school. Me and my friends did the whole 3-day weekend Risk game, you know, dressed up in character, which might have probably led to some inappropriate choices in our life, dressed up as World War II characters. That's not luckily disposable cameras not as available then. Star Wars Risk would be intriguing.
I know they make it.
I figure that would be something like you, me, and Joseph could probably take 2 weeks off from work and just and play. So that's my number five, Star Wars Monopoly, which means we're up to your number four.
Yeah, this one is interesting, not because of its originality, but I kind of see Star Wars in two different phases. There's one part of Star Wars which is the literal Star Wars. That's right. Like, I'm very into the movies. I'm very into the concepts of lightsabers and the Force and blah, 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 blah. So that's like the literal Star Wars that is part of my life.
Right.
There's another part of Star Wars, which I feel like this whole list kind of encompasses, but it's more of the ethereal feeling of Star Wars, where something Star Wars related triggers more memories, more thoughts of where I was at that time. It's kind of like, have you ever walked into a room and for no reason at all, you're like, smells like 1995 in here. And I think this one on my list definitely feels that way. This is the Star Wars Episode II cereal. And I say it's not original because I went to the grocery store this morning and there's Rise of Skywalker cereal. The Star Wars cereal, not a new thing. But this one, for whatever reason, I first of all, if you want the quick path to diabetes, this was was literally Captain Crunch with the marshmallows from Lucky Charms, and that was the cereal. Like the two best parts of childhood obesity in one bowl.
And Star Wars themed.
Right. Yeah. Was it good? As good as a bowl of Captain Crunch is. I think for me, it's more when I think of Star Wars Episode II cereal, it's not so much eating it or even seeing it at Costco. I bought it in bulk, sir, by the way. I ate Star Wars Episode II cereal well into the DVD release of this movie. But it's more...
Two more bowls left.
It's like, oh God, Revenge of the Sith comes out next month. I gotta finish that cereal. It's more like what I remember. Yeah. Star Wars Episode II cereal reminds me of the spring of 2002. And it was just like this kind of magical time in my life. I was a sophomore in high school.
Right.
So like when I think of Star Wars Episode II cereal, I think of like long conversations on the phone with my high school girlfriend while I'm playing. It was one of the Jedi games on the computer. Jedi Outcast.
Oh, okay.
And I had modded it so I could be like Darth Maul in, you know,
he's still alive in my story.
So I think, yeah, like
George heard you
even, when I, even if I have a bowl of Captain Crunch cereal now, I will revert back to thinking it's this cereal, and then I'll revert back to thinking of the summer of 2002, which was just a great summer. Look, besides just like episode 2 coming out, and at the time I declared it the best Star Wars movie because it was the newest.
Sure.
It was more just like, that was such a fun summer. Yeah. So that's why it's like, it's hard to pinpoint why this product actually, like, it's probably not a great Star Wars tie-in, but in my life, it's like this weird anchor to a great time.
I think a lot of people have that with things, items. You know, we're like Ray grabbing a lightsaber and going, suddenly I have memories. I don't know. Right. But like for me, like if I hear Mysterious Ways by U2, I go right back to the summer of 92. Right. Like I just, it's a time machine. And it's really, Tom Cochran's Life is a Highway does that to me too, where like summer 92, I'm going into junior in high school. I don't know, my life. And so I know you probably taste it in your mouth when you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And hear the conversations about Dooku.
It's so funny. It's like I see the little reflection on the hologram of the box with Obi-Wan. There was one with Obi-Wan, and then if you went to Costco and you were a fatty, it had Jenga on it, which was a double.
Mom, can we buy that in bulk, please?
Yeah, the Jenga. Like, I'm gonna need the double here, but yeah, I think just the taking me back. If any of these are a time machine, I think the Star Wars cereal is.
I love the specificity of what you're saying here. Because you could just say Star Wars cereal because, I had that C-3PO cereal or whatever growing up and don't have as memories directly tied to the box like you do. But that's what I love about this because this is – you have it in your hands and you think – and it's going to come up on my list too of just like this just – boom, strikes a memory.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And then it ties into Star Wars. And then, like you said, you're sitting there in the summer of 2002. Attack of the Clones is the best Star Wars movie ever. And it was just generically marketed as Attack of the Clones cereal,
It was Star Wars Episode 2 cereal. All
right.
There was no, like it wasn't like a special edition of Captain Crunch or something. It was just, this is cereal.
This is like they like kit bash some cereal together.
Yeah. They're just like, here you go. And I saw it today with Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
It was just like Kylo Ren on the box. It was just Star Wars cereal. I was like, man, I hope some kid, I hope this is ingrained in their weird little DNA.
You're inspiring me. I might just, on doctor's orders, really cut cereal out of my life a few years ago. Did you have a lot of C-3PO cereal as a kid? Yes. That's got to stop. I might just pick up, for old time's sake, a Rise of Skywalker cereal.
I wonder if it's the same concoction of Captain Crunch and marshmallows.
I'm just wondering. I think there was a missed opportunity if it was generic. They could have divided up and been like Count Dooku,
Chocula
cereal, and Jar Jar Crunch or something like that.
No, it was just very plain Jane. And I guess I kind of appreciate that about it. It was just Star Wars cereal.
I love it. Well, that is a great number four. You can taste it on our memories, in our mouths. My number four is something that came into my life recently, though it had been around and it is licensed. I'm reading this description here, double checking a little bit of facts. It appeared at a Star Wars Celebrations convention in Orlando in 2010, according to the internet here. It came into my life in 2015, and it is this Lando Calrissian Celebration 5 exclusive cologne.
Oh, wow.
And what is it? I don't speak French, but Lando, E-A-U, that's probably translates French. All of our international listeners are like, you guys get to watch The Mandalorian before us and you can't pronounce these cologne names. So this came into my life when I started working at Screen Junkies. And one of the first duties I had was a show, an unboxing show we were creating. And it was originally created for another YouTuber. And at the last minute, they got Kevin Smith to host it with Jason Mewes. Me and my friend Juwan Guillory, we were putting together the show on orders from the higher-ups there. So it was just like, find weird things to unbox that are toy-related, movie-related, that Kevin and Jason can open and go, what? I was eventually removed from it because I kept finding bad. They're like, this isn't exciting. And they were right. Because I ordered the complete Star Wars cologne set. I had to find it. And this one I'm looking right now, the link is on eBay. But the Lando one, so I don't know where it is. It might be in your office. Because you're still working with Screen Junkies. It is the Lando one, and it comes with the Lando cape. It comes with a cape.
Oh, come on.
It's a bottle with a little spritzer, and it has Lando's Bespin cape, the blue and the gold. And I pull it out of the package, And I'm just like, this is great. And everyone there was like, Kevin's not going to want to play with that. I'm like, well, I'll take it.
This was really just a way for you to expense your weird Star Wars wants.
And I didn't, it remained there somewhere. And I just, again, I didn't know 2010. I mean, I've always been a passionate Star Wars fan, but I wasn't up to date. I didn't go to Celebration events until 2015. So I missed this one completely. And it was just like, this I needed this in my life.
I think these like things like this. And, and first of all, this pair that's greatly with Galactic Lotion.
It does.
The ultimate toiletry kit. But this is the stuff that I really love where it's like Star Wars. It's like silly, but also just kind of like, I would wear it. You know, look, I wore Kiss cologne for a full year. It gave me a horrible eczema, but I still used it.
Was it designed with a drop of their blood in it? Why is it causing me to itch? That's got Peter Criss's blood in it. Oh, man. Well, you know what's funny? I'm looking at it comes in a tube with Lando's face on it, like Billy Dee front and center. And then when you pull it out of the box, got the cape, it's like you just said, this is silly. This is silly. I would display this right now on my bookshelf.
Of course.
And we Star Wars fans just, you can get us with that. Because, you know, it's that thing of the toys represent the movie, and it's the only way we can kind of show our love and affection for the characters is to, you know, Billy D's real, Lando's not real. So I can't go meet Lando. I can meet Billy Dee at Wizard World and have some funny stories with there. But on the shelf, people would walk into my home and be like, if this was there, oh, you love Lando. And that's a cape on a bottle of cologne.
Does yes, he actually is. Smell like that is what I really want to know.
I want to know.
Is that a canon smell?
I think so.
Yeah.
I want to know because we know that they probably don't have a lot. They don't have a lot of say in this. Right. As Carrie Fisher would say. Right. I look in the mirror, give George a dollar. I wonder if at any point this went across Billy Dee's desk.
He was like, it's just like, all right,
what do we have here?
How much do I get for this?
I get 10 cents for every spray. Like, what do I get here? So anyways, that is my number four. There's other Star Wars scents out there. Jennifer Landa went on a trip. She came back with, I think I got a Chewy cologne. It's more recent. She brought a gift back for me.
Does it smell like wet dog?
Yeah, like that's the, of all the scents.
Right.
Of all, like, you know, here's Bantha smell.
That's like, that's why I use Galactic Lotion, so I don't smell like a big Wookiee.
That should have been a great solo promotional tie-in.
Right?
Wookiee shampoo. Oh, man. Missed opportunities. Anyways.
There's even a shower scene.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It's the only shower scene in Star Wars that I can think of off
that's
the top of my
head.
That's
where you need the Galactic Lotion. That's where you need it. That is my number four. We're up to your number three.
Yeah, so this one... this one might be a little interesting of a choice because it's a poster and it's a licensed poster. Ooh, okay. That they sold. What makes it interesting is there are a million cool Star Wars posters that we saw.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's fine. I sent you the link. You saw it. Like so basically it's the Cantina. And it's a bunch of the Cantina aliens that, you know, kind of we register immediately. Those are the ones.
Right.
And it's got the Cantina band kind of on an elevated stage.
Oh, yeah.
And just in yellow letters, it says you'll never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy. There's no lightsabers. There's nothing. No Luke. There's no Han. There's nothing that tells you this is Star Wars if you don't know it's Star Wars. Yeah. So why would I choose? First of all, this was the first Star Wars poster I ever had. My mom gave
this
it to me.
Was?
My mom gave it to me. I should say Santa gave it to me for Christmas, and I had this on the back of my door.
Oh yeah,
of my bedroom door. So it was the first thing I saw when I woke up in the morning. The last thing I saw when I went to sleep night.
This might be nightmare inducing.
But you know what the thing is? I was trying to think. I was like, why when I think of like Star Wars imagery, why is this stupid poster that's not even like the most elegant? And I think it represents to me exactly what Star Wars is to a kid, which is I implore everyone. I'll post it on my Twitter when this comes out because I want everyone to see it. I think this perfectly encapsulates what I saw of Star Wars versus what is actually on the screen.
Yeah.
Because George, you know, notoriously was like, this is not what I wanted it to look like. This looks cheap. This looks claustrophobic. Right. But then when you look at this, it's this grandiose fabrication, this hyperbolic version of the cantina. They're on this huge stage. It's got all this like crazy ambient lighting. It looks like a an Aerosmith show. And I think that's what's like my imagination ran wild. So when I thought of Star Wars as a kid, when I thought of the cantina scene, this seeped into my subconscious and it just made it feel bigger. And I think that's a lot of these Star Wars products and things just make Star Wars feel so epic and grandiose because of things like this poster that's just ingrained in you. And I see it every day, every day, every day. So when I hear George Lucas do an interview, he's like, yeah, the cantina was disappointing. I was like, really? Because in my mind, it's just this big, crazy collection of aliens. And, and I honestly think this poster is kind of like my link to like why I sometimes feel Star Wars is maybe bigger in the legend than it was what it actually was.
That's a great way to look at it. That's some great insight into how some of these pieces of memorabilia really do work, and how, you know, I talk often about my first image that stuck in my brain of Star Wars was Luke on the sail barge with the lightsaber, which really wasn't where I saw it. I thought I saw it in the trailer. It's later on. It just kind of molds into, you know, folds in on itself and becomes this image that I just remembered. So I love that you're probably sitting there staring at it as a kid going, yeah, that's the band. It's, that's what it feels like. And I'm always a little disappointed, too. I'm not just George, but there's some clips with Mark Hamill going, yeah, we read it in the script. It was great. And then we get to set, and there's like a grasshopper, and there's like... Yeah, it was really disappointing. It's like I totally understand it, but like as I go back to childhood, going no, there's crazy aliens everywhere.
Yeah, what are you talking about? This thing's massively popular.
It's really weird that there is nothing like official on it. Like,
no,
I mean,
it might be an officially licensed poster, but it's just there's no Star Wars logo on it. There's no, I'm not sure why. I think because my mom just thought that was the funniest line in Star Wars for whatever reason. So when she found a poster that actually had that text on it, she was like, oh, that's the one he'll love.
Right.
But again, you know, like I said, Star Wars is two things. It is either the literal thing or the ethereal thing.
Yeah.
I think this falls into when Star Wars goes into my subconscious, because, you know, if I can't fall asleep or if I slam my door because I'm mad, that how many hours of my life, if you calculate it, were spent looking at this one image?
Must have been a real sad day when you pulled it down to put up a Cindy Crawford poster. But I love, too, that this is one of your first pieces of Star Wars memorabilia that you had or remember.
Yeah.
It's very similar to me being a huge Beatles fan, and the first album I ever was given on cassette by my parents was the Beatles Rarities album, which is outtakes, German covers of their
Sleep Deep.
Yeah. and that was the first thing. And that's why. Yeah. So to have your memory of this weird, and it's not even like nowadays you get the parody posters. Like this would be a legit advertisement. We've seen those for like Figuring Dan and the Modal Nodes. Like it's a real band poster.
Right.
This is just like a snapshot of the movie.
Yeah.
That's impressive. Well, speaking of snapshots of the movie, we're up to my number three, and this is one of my all-time favorite things, promotional items in Star Wars. This is the Burger King glasses, and I'm going back, and it's so funny. You handed me a glass of water here to drink, and it is the First Order Last Jedi Coke-sponsored Star Wars glasses, the pint glasses. So this is kind of the precursor to all of that. I'm going back to the early ones. Now, I'm focusing specifically on the Return of the Jedi line. I do believe, I don't know if there's a New Hope one, I don't remember that, but definitely an Empire one, because I own now a Lando 1980 Burger King glass that I got at Orlando 2017. I flew back with it. Brave. Maybe it was Anaheim and I drove back. Either way, I have it. But the Return of the Jedi ones, I've started to go out and buy again when I can get them at stores. There's a place nearby me that sells them. And I just have such a memory attached to them, like you do with the cereal.
Right.
As a kid, seven, there was a Burger King in town that's still there, actually, in Royal Grande on Grand Avenue there, if you're a local. I would go to that Burger King and buy a Whopper, and there started my health problems. But my mom would get me the collector glass because you like that space movie. And I'll tell you, the Jabba's Palace one. So it has like Jabba on it. I think there might be two versions. I can't remember. But what I remember is the Sarlacc pit. And I would have like Kool-Aid, I guess, orange, reddish Kool-Aid Mama would make, right? I can remember like seven being disgusted about the – I didn't want to drink because when I was taking a sip out of it, the Sarlacc pit was there. I was like, this is disgusting. Like yeah, like this is bad. It ate all those guys. And that's a vibrant memory. It's just I can remember staring at the glass going, I don't want to drink out of that. And it just – it was truly too because there were these scenes in the Endor one and the things a set of four and Han and Leia, everyone's on there. I would sit at the dinner table and just stare at them and just replay the movie in my brain, which is why this is stuff so powerful.
And you're just zoned out and they're yeah. like, what is he doing?
Kenny, finish your corn. but Luke and Han are there. And I just love them and they're and it's so weird. I don't know about you, like, you know, we're collecting type of people, but sometimes I just don't think to go out and get something that might have been from my past that I don't have anymore. Right. I didn't at some point those disappeared from my life. And then it was at that, you know what? I do think it was Anaheim. Now I think about 2015, because it's my first Star Wars celebration and I'm walking around having fun. And I saw one there for like $9. And it was like, that's the Burger King glass.
Yeah.
These people remember these, like, you know, I'm the only Star Wars fan that went right. to Burger King in 83. And the guy's like, yeah, I got to start. You want one? I was like, yes. And like for him, I was like, good, great. Give me your $9. Yeah. And I was just like walking, like hold it back, walking to my hotel. Like I have one again. This is amazing. It's like 2015. eBay's been around for years. I can Craigslist anything. I'm just like, I didn't think these existed anymore. So it has a lot of memory attached to it for me. I don't know if you had what original set at any point in your life.
No, not of those. I think my cup collecting would come later in life.
Which we're going to hear about.
As you're drinking out of the Mondo First Order glass.
Is that what it is, the Mondo?
It's Texas or the Alamo Draft Alamo House. Draft yeah.
And again, that's these work because they're like, hey, remember, let's do it again.
Definitely.
Drink it again for the first time. So my number three, which means we're up to your number two.
So I'm glad our three and our two are where they are because I think that dovetails. I'm going to answer now your question.
Dovetails.
Which is... So, missed the Burger King wave.
Yep. I'm a couple years older, yeah.
I mentioned this, I think, on one of the other shows because it just, for whatever reason, is maybe the most quintessential Star Wars thing for me is the Star Wars Special Edition Taco Bell kids' meals.
Yes.
This was just, for whatever reason... I don't know why, because I knew that culturally Star Wars was this big thing and before I got to it that it existed on large level. But for whatever reason, I was still just like, wow, I can't believe Star Wars is at Taco Bell. Like it's here. There, yeah. It's here for me. Yeah. And those, first of all, the boxes were so cool. Yeah. They were normally the McDonald's or Taco Bell boxes. They were just kind of cheap cardboard. These kind of had this like layer of shine on them. They were almost like borderline like, laminated.
Like glossy.
Yeah. They were glossy hard stock. And you either got one from like A New Hope, or I remember specifically the one from Empire Strikes Back where it's Han and Leia and 3PO and Chewie in the Falcon cockpit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like beautifully lit. And then the toys. Look, kids' meals toys are kind of lame.
Yeah.
But I will die on this hill that these are some of the most original Star Wars toys. Maybe even fast food toys for any movie tie-in ever.
I
told you, there was like one was like a Rubik's cube, and it was like moved it or you could like flip it around. It was like a puzzle cube, and it had different characters from the movies on them. Yeah. There was a floating Cloud City, was like it had like little magnets in it, so it would just kind of hover there for a second.
That's
It's like
that's crazy tech in 97.
It's almost as if the Imagineers took a smoke break and ended up just doing these real fast, but then went back to like making Disneyland rides.
Hey, Taco Bell needs some stuff.
Like these weren't just like the boring, like here's like a little, you know, Millennium Falcon spaceship that has wheels on the bottom. It's like everything was so creative.
Pull it back and it goes to hyperspace.
Yeah. There was a force, a dark light side where it was, if you turned the cube one way, it was Yoda. And if you turned the other cube, cube the other way, it was Darth Vader. And then that's the one I told this story where I had to buy another one because I just could not sleep at night not knowing how this worked. And I didn't want to damage this one. But as soon as I got a second one, I popped that puppy open. I was like, I must know. It's half each face with a mirror in the middle.
Awesome. Yeah.
And then the Boba Fett, which was quote unquote flying, but he had a magnet in his chin and on the rock was the other magnet. So he would kind flying of like a bobblehead almost.
And he's got some forearms.
Yeah. I mean, it's very disproportionate. This is like holiday special Boba Fett. But just the thrill of, just the hunt of collecting, like it's Taco Bell. It's not like we're, you know, I'm not Indiana Jones here.
I can't imagine the kid who would go eat Attack of the Clone cereal back then was like, ah, damn it, I have to get more tacos.
Look, later that summer, trying to get all those Batman and Robin cups to win George Clooney's Batmobile. I got 1997 was the year of the bell. I lived south of the border. You talked about like if I know eBay exists, I know all these things exist, but if I were to walk into any sort of convention or pawn shop and saw the full set, I don't think I could stop myself from getting them because they were just so cool.
Yeah.
They were just so great. They don't make them like that anymore, man.
I'm familiar with it enough, but not super familiar. This picture you sent is pretty awesome. You got Leia and Yoda and R2-D2, a Falcon. That's that era. It's all coming back. 97.
Yeah.
Boom. Remember that thing you thought only you loved? Everyone did.
But that's so crazy because it's like it was coming back for you. Yeah. And it just was, here's this thing, you know?
And I love that. And Maude Garrett, that was her entry point into Star Wars, too. We used to talk a lot on Jedi Alliance. She's like, I didn't know. I was 11 in 97 and boom, what is this wonderful thing?
Yeah.
McClunky. So I love that, man. Plus, you know, you're getting some tacos and burritos.
Taco Bell's great. I love Taco Bell.
If Del Taco came up with some Star Wars stuff, I'd be there. That's a great number two, right? Yeah, that's your two.
Yes.
And then here's my number two. Then we'll take a quick break after that. Come back with honorable mentions and number one. But here's my number two. Going back, to the glory days of 1999. Star Wars. You talk about Star Wars coming back. Oh, it's coming back. And I was waiting in line at Toys R Us at midnight for figures. Lego had a Star Wars license. Unbelievable. And then, as if we weren't in bad shape enough health-wise, PepsiCo said, well, come get our Phantom Menace line of soda pop cans.
Oh, yeah.
And this is one that a lot of people know. I am definitely not alone. You are not alone. And I went crazy. I was living with my roommates at the time, Casey, who went on to work for SpongeBob for years. My friend Joel's a screenwriting teacher now. And then my friend Aaron Alexovich, who worked on Invader Zim and all these things. They went on to great careers. I was the one who was like, you guys want to get more Pepsi cans? Phantom Menace, and I guess they just didn't care. I thought I was a good roommate, but I took up an entire shelf to just display all of them. I had pretty much all of them, I believe. And then this is where our stories, Billy, kind of cross into a similar thing. The movie comes and goes. Attack of the Clones is 2-3 years away. Kept them on the shelf. One day I come home, my roommates, one of them, someone's like, I think something's wrong with your cans. I go into the kitchen, and several of them had expanded and exploded because I didn't drain them. I never knew the pinprick, whatever trick to drain.
Yeah.
And wow, there went my collection.
See, at least in your version, you really only have yourself to blame.
It's just
like, you know what? Okay, I guess my stuff's ruined. Yeah. I had them all. I had the whole set. Didn't drain either. If you guys don't know, Fresno,
no one told me.
Fresno, California, it's yeah. the Central Valley, 110 summers, 30s yeah. and 40s in the winter.
Yeah.
Those cans are going to, they're going to do some
change.
Yeah. They're going to go through some changes.
There's some chemistry in action there.
My
science
parents,
at work.
Had just bought their new house and there was a built in shelf in my room.
Oh yeah.
Just very nice. And I tucked them in and then all of a sudden, I come home one day and it is just Armageddon. They had just, about seven of them had just, yep, just, and it had clearly, like, and then I found out later as I was taking them out to, like, clean and see what I could do, like, about, I don't know, six or seven of them had been slowly leaking for months and I didn't realize
yes.
I just left this trail of just syrup. So, look, it was the cool thing about those
right
cans, though,
yeah.
was for a lot of those characters, that's the first time I was like, oh, that's a character in this movie because they didn't have an action figure.
Yeah,
or,
right, right.
There was no Newt Gunray action figure when it start when the line
yeah, when
started. Those
yeah.
didn't come till later. So I was like, okay, this character and a little bio on it. And
yeah, that's right. It did have the bio. You're
yeah.
right. Yeah, do you know, I was trying to remember who the suspect was in my can collection, which one exploded
it
first.
It was Mr. Exposition Rick Olay that caused me to be in very big trouble the entire summer of 2000.
This is what happens when cans expand.
And this is me being grounded. That's right. You're a quick learner.
So I know a lot of you out there probably have a similar story. Look, I don't know. No one told me.
No
one said you could just, you know, drain these things.
Little pinprick at the bottom of the can.
Just take your time and drain them. Because I would buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack or a 24-pack, save one, drink the rest. Had to explain that later to a doctor. But it just there was no internet was, you know, Al Gore hadn't really got it up and running yet. We were all figuring it out. And like, there wasn't like some Twitter feed of
right.
Here's how to preserve your, your cans. Oh, so that is number two on my list. We are going to come back here after a quick break. Stick around. Star Wars Ranked. We're ranking the best promotional tie-in products.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
All right, welcome back here to Force Center Star Wars Rank. Billy Patterson and I are here looking back at the best Star Wars promotional tie-in items. We're having a great time. We've been talking about Star Wars Monopoly, Lando Cologne. We've got Taco Bell kids' meal toys, Star Wars cereal that affected the futures of a lot of young kids at the time. And though we're going to go with some honorable mentions before we get to our number one choice there. I have a couple here I'll just throw out, and I definitely want to hear yours, Billy. One came to my life, our mutual friend, Brittany yep. Wallach, Brittany Wallach Key, and her husband, Matt Key, went to Japan on a trip. I think it was one of their, they may have gone twice now, but it felt like their first time. And they came back. They're like, wow, amazing, amazing. They're like, Ken, we got you something because we thought of you. We saw there's a lot of Star Wars stuff over in Japan. And I've seen, I've been familiar with some of the weird, whether officially licensed or not, I don't know, but just some cool things. And they came back with a Star Wars nail file. Was it an emery board, you know? And it is, I still have it. And it's very cartoonish versions, almost like when you see some of the emojis, the hashtag emojis on Twitter that are Star Wars themed.
Yeah, yeah.
That kind of design. And it's got all of them on both sides. Vader, 3PO, Chewie, Han, Luke, Yoda, and you just rub your nails down on it. File your nails. And I just love it. And I'll look at it, and it's just like, you know, and I'm not, you know, I don't have a huge collection of nail gear. So I'm like, this is it. This is the one I have.
If you're going to do it, you might as well do it with a Star Wars,
you know,
file, right?
And look, I trim, I don't have Galactic body wash lotion, but I do keep my nails trim with Star Wars.
Put some Lando cologne on. We're ready to hit Coruscant.
The Star Wars personal care kit is what we need to do. I also enjoy the Star Wars trivia book back in the early 80s from Rusty Miller, the then 11-year-old author. I have a few copies now. Joseph Scrimshaw actually got me a real pristine one lately, and I have in store somewhere my original version. I just love it. Trivia, it's trivia, but it was just so, like, it was the first time I remember, oh, you can, the little minute minutiae of Star Wars is to be cherished, celebrated, and learned.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever seen that.
No, I haven't, actually.
You can look it up. I could probably get you a copy. I think over the years I've procured a few now. And it's real simple questions. But even for, like, Schmodown stuff, I've trained with it because I've just, like, let me go back to the beginning. And this kid, and he's this great picture. I don't know where he is now. He's like 11, 10, kind of a goofy, braces wearing redhead kid, just in this photo with what, like, a totally like 1980s polo on. And it just was like, this kid put together, like, no one else thought about this.
That's the documentary I want to see.
Yes.
Is the searching for Bobby Fischer of this.
Yes.
Kid,
oh, know? My God. That's a great guy. We got to work on that.
Right.
A couple here, then we'll hear yours. Force Awakens, and this isn't the first time I think fruit has been a marketing trick, but the BB-8 oranges.
I missed this completely. I saw your list. I was like, that, what?
Yeah. So Force Awakens, the buildup, you know, we're getting all this stuff, and just you go to stores and be bags of oranges, and on the bag that would a little logo that says Star Wars BB-8.
Why not?
Why not? I love it.
Look, it's healthier alternative than Star Wars cereal, you know?
You know, it turns out our Star Wars cereal may have caused a lot of health problems in a couple generations of kids. And it just was like, I remember seeing it for the first time in a store and being like, you got to be kidding me. But of course, and yes.
Why not? Look, if they had put Kylo Ren's lightsaber as a celery stock, I probably would have been like,
oh, that's beautiful. All right,
why not?
Yeah, and that's just, and that is Star Wars. It is Mel Brooks' Spaceballs. Yep, he really did a good job. That's all true there. And the final one for me is a recent one, and a listener actually sent one out to me. Gosh, I forgot to write down the name. I apologize. I'm known for not being a huge fan of the puffer pigs in Star Wars Rebels. So a listener sent a puffer pig squeak toy out. It's pretty big. It's a few inches high, a few inches long, and a few inches wide. And so it's a puffer pig, and it's great. And when you squeeze it, because it's a puffer pig, it makes a sound. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't squeeze it when I first got it. It's kind of like a hard, you know, vinyl-y rubber. And I just put it, I just like, ah, that's funny. That's funny. Put it on my shelf. And then one day my girlfriend just grabs it and just like, what is this? And I go, that's a puffer pig. And she squeezes it. And our dogs go batshit. And our male chihuahua is just like, I will murder the puffer pig. And so then it became just a source of entertainment. And so what ends up happening is, here's something I don't really enjoy in Star Wars. Don't enjoy myself the puffer pig. Now I'm like, I like puffer pigs.
Of course. You come full circle with that.
That's what it does.
I think if more kids had that really off-putting Jar Jar lollipop. Where you suck on his tongue like Lady and the Tramp, maybe we would have all thought of him differently.
I have a lot of weird mixed feelings about Jar Jar now. So anyways, those are my honorable mentions. What are some of yours?
Going back to Taco Bell, Taco Bell and Star Taco Wars Bell's to me are just... They're just linked forever. Anytime I have a taco from Taco Bell, I think of Star Wars. Yeah. But when Episode 1 came out, they had these really rad cups. And they weren't glasses. They were like full, you know, plastic cups. But the tops were like actual, like you could go to a store and pay like 10, 12 bucks for these types of cups. They were great. Yep. And a lot of times those were the most detailed first looks at characters that we saw. And I still have my Darth Maul one.
That one
was awesome.
They're great. Our friends at Black Series Rebels Celebration this past year in Chicago released a set of pins that are commemorative cup pins.
Yeah.
Because it tied, and they went so fast, as all the Black Series pens do, but they were, hey, we're on the floor here at the Celebration. They got swamped, like security come over. People that like didn't even really know who they were as a YouTube show were just like, I must have the pins of the cups. So, you're right. That's a pretty powerful piece of marketing.
Star Wars and drinkware. There's a weird symbiotic relationship. I don't know what it is.
You must see that you need each other.
The other one, again, this was something I think I mentioned on one of the Star Wars ranks about the special editions, but it's such a staple of my childhood was the Mead Star Wars folders.
Great,
I had them in my little Trapper Keeper.
Yeah.
They were just like the most gaudy 90s, like they were like heat vision looking almost, like the way that the designs were just neon greens and purples and reds. And it was like Rebel Empire. And you're just like, calm down. But again, like that was, how many times a day in fifth, sixth grade were those just in my face all day, every day. So like those have a very special place in my heart. That's something where like on eBay, I found some, but then they would sell, like, buy it now real quick before I could get them. If I had those in front of me, those are ones where I'd be like, what do you want?
Gotta
I'll give it to you.
That's great.
And then the last one is, like, incredibly sentimental. It's not even the best book that's out there, but the Return of the Jedi tie-in storybook. This was one where Luke on the sail barge on the front cover.
Yes. I thought was in the trailer my whole life.
It was just kind of like this. It was the softback version, like the library binding version. And it was in my fifth grade, quote unquote, class library, which is just a bunch of like Goodwill books that are in the back of the room. And I, quote unquote, checked it out, which meant I hoarded it in my desk all year long. And I think at one point I convinced some other kid that wanted it that was like, oh, I I don't think we ever had that.
I don't know.
I think I brought that from home.
Yeah.
And my teacher was totally wise to it. But she knew, like, Star Wars was my life.
Yeah.
So at the end of the school year, I reluctantly put my head down because my mom was like, you stole this.
Yeah.
So give it back. And I was like, here you go. She's like, you know what?
It's a library, Mom.
She's like, just keep it. Like,
really?
Yeah. She's like, obviously this means a lot to you and it's probably worth 75 cents. So just keep it. So I still have that somewhere.
That's great.
Return of the Jedi is middle of the road of my, in terms of like my ranking of the Star Wars movies, but that book just means everything to me.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. Those books, I have a lot of the, you know, when you hear R2 chime, turn the page.
Oh yeah.
Those are all great. And there's a lot from that era there. That's great. Well, we're going to round up our list here with my number one, then go to our guest number one so they can close out the show. And mine, I've mentioned it before on this show. Joseph has joked with me about it. It's one of those things that is, I think, pretty well known, but also it might not be to some people. My number one, the best Star Wars promotional tie-in item, is the 1980 record by RSO Records, Christmas in the Stars, Star Wars Christmas album. This is one released in November of 1980. So, you know, Empire had been going around for a bit. New Hope was definitely on everyone's mind. And Anthony Daniels said, yes, I will come back as C-3PO and sing on this record. And this, Ben Burtt also worked on some of the, sound effects for R2-D2 and Chewbacca because they appear. And it's just got wonderful songs like Christmas in the Stars, Bells, 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 The Odds Against Christmas.
It's Bells, Bells, Bells to the tune of Girls, Girls, Girls by Motley Crue.
No, it's Bells, Bells, Bells. And there's dialogue between the tracks.
Really?
They talk to each other.
These are original songs, or are they taking the score and putting words?
Original. Yeah, wow. not quite Life Day. Huh? And then the famous one, the most famous one, What Can You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Owns a Comb? R2-D2, We Wish You a Merry Christmas. So these might be covers. Sleigh Ride, Merry, Merry Christmas. A Christmas Sighting, Twas the Night Before Christmas, and The Meaning of Christmas. It is that 3-minute and 24-second, What Can You Get a Wookiee for Christmas When He Already Owns a Comb? That's definitely the key there. There's some great art on it. The original painting featured cover art by Ralph McQuarrie. And it is a picture of, let's get the picture up here. It is C-3PO and R2 kind of in a, it's not loading up here. I was going to show you, Billy, but it's there in like a very Christmas theme. There's a fireplace. It's a mantle. It's like a very Dickens Christmas, but it's Star Wars. And so here's the thing. I when I worked in radio in the mid-90s, this was sitting around in our production office. And I don't know why. And here I was, a Star Wars fan. And I used to play it, and not really on air or anything, but just it was like in the production studio. It was great. I never really knew it existed, right? I just one of those things that fell under my radar screen. And then towards the end of the radio run, I don't know, much like Billy in the library as a kid, the record wasn't there anymore. And suddenly, old Ken Napsok now had that record in his collection. So I swiped it, took it, and I still have it, but I don't know where it is. There's a lot of storage opportunities that this could have fallen into. So I have a lot of possibilities. So I have to search. I'm going to find it. It might be – I have some boxes at a friend of mine's house for a while when I ran out of room. I think it might be could be at my parents' house. I don't know. I'm going to find it, and now that I got some record players in the house – maybe I'll just order a copy if I can't find it. But Star Wars, Christmas in the Stars, Star Wars Christmas album, much like the holiday special, not the best, but also the best. Yeah. That's my number one.
I got to get me a copy of this because I don't know any of these songs. You said the famous as if it's, you know, Nat King Cole sings Christmas classics. I don't know any of those songs, but I'm definitely intrigued. I love like there's that weird gap of time, it seems, between like 78 and Empire, where it was the Wild West of we could do whatever we want with Star Wars because it's not a thing yet.
Yep. I mean, this comes out now. I think people, go to Kathleen Kennedy's door and try to rip it out of her house, and they shouldn't because it's great, it's silly, and like, yeah, no, you're totally right. It was that early days of, I don't know, they want a Christmas album. And then and all jokes aside, I do love Anthony Daniels. We joke about, you know, he is a walking one-man show. But our pal Mark Ellis just did the press junket with him and actually told him to his face, like, thank you for being ambassador of Star Wars. You know, through thick and thin, good times and bad, you've always been associated with it. And actually, it was, I don't know if the clip will ever see air, but it actually moved Anthony Daniels, especially here at the end of the run. And I look back and we can poke fun, but that's true. He's so protective of the character, but also so is the character that for them to be like, hey, do you want to sing a bunch of songs? Well, yes, of course. I'm C-3PO.
Who else would do it?
I love that about him. And this is the headlining event.
Yeah, I gotta snag a copy.
You gotta do that. So that's my number one, which means we're gonna close this show, Billy, with your number one best Star Wars promotional tie-in item.
Yeah, again, this whole episode I've been talking about the literal and the figurative, the bigger picture of Star Wars, and I think my number one marries them together so seamlessly that it had to be my number one. So as the Star Wars special editions coming out, you know, maybe I know Power of the Force had launched earlier, but it just seemed like I never saw it until then. And then it just, boom, Star Wars was everywhere.
Right.
And I had just seen A New Hope and I was like, I need everything.
Yeah.
Give me everything.
I want
to know everything. I just want it all. 97, we didn't have internet, not at my house.
No, I didn't have it.
I don't even know if I quite knew what it was.
I knew, but I think we were just getting it. Yeah, but I know it wasn't, it was a privilege.
Right. Yeah. And so it wasn't, you know, it's tough because now it's like if I watch a movie that I love, I'll hop on my phone and I'll know everything about how they made it.
Yep.
But I went to the grocery store. It wasn't even a chain. It was our local Country Boy. Went to Country Boy, and I was still in this little dream world of seeing the movie. And all of a sudden, I walk past the magazine rack, and there is a magazine, and it's all black and in gold foil. It says Star Wars, and it's Darth Vader, a close up of the helmet, and in the eye, you just see Luke in his Bespin outfit with the blue lightsaber. And that's all it said. It just said Star Wars.
Right.
It didn't say anything else. I was like, well, I have to have this. It's in a plastic bag.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, there's obviously a treasure trove of secrets that they don't want me reading this all in the grocery store.
It's all here.
I must have this.
Yeah.
I must have this. And it was the Topps, the card makers, like the baseball cards, but they do magazines too. It was the Topps 20th anniversary Star Wars official souvenir magazine.
Right.
And this was my Star Wars Bible.
Yeah.
I read that magazine cover to cover for like 2 years. Like, there was no Wikipedia. For me, there was no chat rooms. There was no I know that there was that, like, the making of Star Wars or from A New Hope to Jet, whatever it was called.
The VHS tape.
But this magazine was, I was like, you know, it had little bios of the actors. Mm-hmm. So that's the first time I even was like, oh, they did other things. Because I wasn't into Indiana Jones yet at this point. That one looks kind of neat, you know? What's fugitive? I didn't know. I was not a very bright reader at the time.
Just eating your cereal, Star Wars cereal. Fugitive. Tommy Lee Jones and Harrison Ford. And fugitive.
Not only that, this had like behind the scenes stuff,
right?
But then it also like had pictures of, like, it was like Star Wars is back, and an article, one of the articles in it was about all the merchandise, and there was a picture of FAO Schwartz from New York somewhere. I never got to go because I don't think it's there anymore.
Right.
But just to, they had this photo and it was like a spread, and it was just wall to wall Star Wars toys with a big at kind of in the middle. And so it's like, oh my God, all these things exist. And then flipping. And this was at the point where I think maybe people knew that the episode one was coming, but it was only lightly hinted at that maybe more Star Wars would come in, you know, at a later date.
We didn't know.
It was like all the past, all the present and the hope of the future was all in this one little magazine.
Yeah.
And it was just everything to me. And so now when I, now with trailers and websites, is we can go frame by frame by frame, and that's cool. And I do it
and I love it.
I do it.
Wouldn't trade it, but yeah.
But there's just something, and maybe this is like the get off my lawn of me coming up, but there's something magical about all I needed to know about Star Wars was in that one magazine.
Right.
And I'm such a sucker. If I go like to the grocery store and I see like special edition, like, you know, Avengers Endgame magazine, I have to buy it because that's like my weird link to these movies are these like tie-in magazines that tell me nothing I don't already know at this point. But
dude, I just did that at Walgreens the other day. Driving to work with you at Screen. I mean, to go meet you up at Screen Junkies, where I've been doing some part-time work, and I stopped at Walgreens and I needed something, and turned the corner. Newsweek looks back at the Star Wars saga.
Yeah,
must have.
Right? It's so strange, and even now, rationally, my brain I will get it. Mm-hmm. I didn't get it this morning, but I will get. They have a new official one for Rise of Skywalker. It's like there is nothing in this magazine that I've not already seen, that I don't already know. There's nothing it's going to introduce me to, and I probably am not going to sleep great tonight knowing that I didn't buy it morning.
Yeah. I'm with you. The magazines, I still just love the feel and the smell of magazines. Going to an old, like a Barnes & Noble or a Walden Books or a B. Dalton. And going to the magazine rack and just like, what little treasure trove of Star Wars information can I find there? That was our internet.
That's all I needed to propel me all the way to Phantom Menace. Yeah. I
love that. Man, that's a great list. This is a great topic, Bill. I can't thank you enough for coming up with that topic. A lot of fun, a lot of memories, and I'm sure a lot of you out there have this similar memories and experiences and other things. So don't forget, don't hesitate to reach out and share some pictures if you have them, even if they're not from your collection, maybe just a memory. Use the hashtag Star Wars Ranked. Go to Force Center Pod. Let us know. You can follow me at KatNapsok. And Billy Biz, you got a lot of great shows that you work on. Tell them about them and where they can find them.
Yeah, at Billy A. Patterson on Twitter. Hot Takes with Billy Biz. Where coming out, or maybe it's already out, I don't know. You and I are going to be talking about the whole Star Wars, every theatrical movie that has been released. Kind of my, I'm not trying to step on your toes, but my official ranking of where I would put them. And I've agonized over this list. So you can check it out there and watch Screen Junkies.
Absolutely. Watch Screen Junkies, especially when I'm pressing buttons on some of the shows.
You're doing great, man.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Except for when the people in SGO get into a Star Wars conversation. I'm in the booth and I can't come out.
How hard is it to like have to keep switching when you're like, you're wrong, but I'm cutting to your camera.
It's okay. It's okay. No, it's been good. A lot of fun. Hey, don't forget, for Force Center, you can support us on Patreon, patreon.com/Force Center. If you want to check out an Audible book on us, get a free audiobook, go to audibletrial.com/Force Center. And over 180,000 titles for you to choose from for a lot of different devices. We always like recommending books. Hell, you can try my book, Why We Love Star Wars, narrated by me, not Anthony Daniels. That's on Audible as well. So thank you, Billy. We'll bring you back soon. Star Wars Ranked. It's the holiday season. It's the Rise of Skywalker season, but hey, let's go back to where it all began. Those love of little pieces of memorabilia and memories. That is it. Star Wars has been ranked.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.